Sant, a Russian business newspaper, just today, and it said there were three governmental sources. So Kommersant is not exactly the official newspaper of record in Russia, but it's quite close, tends to be quite Kremlin-aligned. So there have been strategic arms reduction treaties, START, as they're known, since the 1970s. And the rumour, according to Kommersant, is this will be held in a Middle Eastern country. They haven't said which one yet. Now, my guess would be Saudi Arabia, which has managed to have fairly good relations with both the United States and Russia, despite not really being an ally of them. I mean, I know Americans sometimes say friends and allies in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabia is a bit miffed that the United States has not attacked Iran. If I'm wrong, if it's not Saudi, Qatar or the UAE would be obvious examples. Somehow, I don't think it's going to be in Iran or Syria. Anyway, START treaties usually took place in Geneva, Switzerland, but the talks could be held later this month or indeed December 2022. Now, Russia's been ramping up the escalatory rhetoric regarding nuclear weapons, partly because that's their trump card. That's the one thing they have. They don't know that Westerners fear, because their nuclear arsenal, even if it's nothing like as big as we think, even if a lot of it doesn't work, if even one of them works, that would kill at least several million people, take out a major Western city. Russians would obviously like to segue from nuclear arms into armaments generally, security generally, saying that we're in mortal peril because Ukraine is a free country, Ukraine can't possibly have democracy. No, it's got to be tyrannized by us, because a free Ukraine is a knife at the throat of Russia, rather than, obviously it's very much the other way around, is Russia's been cutting a lot of Ukrainian throats, and that's not even a metaphor. There's some tension between them. The Ruskies looking for a detente and thinking, well, we could play ball with you and we could get rid of some of our nuclear weapons, but you're going to have to do something nice for us. You're going to have to leave your Ukrainian friends in the lurch, cut off arms shipments to them, things like that, no longer fund them. Would you recognize Crimea as Russian, or Kherson, Donetsk, Luhansk, or Zaporizhia? If not, could they have some anomalous status, at least say there's indeterminacy as their status? Could they be independent? I mean, because remember where you heard it first, that statement back on the 24th of February, where Russia recognized Donetsk and Luhansk as independent states. I said that's simply preparatory to Russia proclaiming their absorption into the Russian Federation. Or, could it be somehow liminal, these areas, these eastern marches, not part of Russia or Ukraine? That at least would be a gain for Russia, some sort of de facto, if not de jure, recognition of these regions as not being fully part of Ukraine. There's also meant to be inspections to see that both sides are holding up their end of the bargain, which obviously Russia never ever does. So there'd be no physical suspension since August 2022. So President Biden said in August 2022 that the Chinese People's Republic and the Russian Federation ought to prove that they really are committed to limiting their nuclear arsenals. So the Russian Foreign Ministry said at the time that these Occidental sanctions, visa restrictions, and these airspace closures made it tricky for the Russians to carry out inspections on American soil. I mean, that's largely nonsense. They could travel to wherever is Turkey, fly from there. It's just not very much more difficult. These are just bogus excuses. So anyway, they've held sort of online discussions rather than face-to-face talks about START, a new START, because nuclear weapons are very, very expensive. Anyway, so the number of deployable nuclear warheads is supposed to be 1,550, and that expires on the 5th of February 2026. Note that's deployable nuclear warheads. There can be non-deployable ones which are additional to that. And Russia said they thought to have several thousand. That's why Russia is always talking about its nuclear weapons, partly because its conventional forces are performing so badly, it's even more important that they have this nuclear option, that they could wipe out the world and they could saber rattle, they could frighten Western countries, say, okay, we'll back down, we'll just throw Ukraine to the wolves, so long as you promise not to nuke us. And in a sense, it just shows how feeble Russia is. There was this Kazakh intellectual, I can't remember who he was, the other day, saying, yes, despite what's happened to Ukraine, they gave up their nuclear weapons to Russia in return for all these guarantees of their independence and their territorial integrity, and Russia has flagrantly reneged on those, has shamelessly broken all its solemn promises. And if Ukraine had those nuclear weapons, Russia wouldn't dare because Moscow could be nuked. But nonetheless, it was right for Kazakhstan to divest itself of its nuclear arsenal. And remember, the Soviet nuclear bombs and Tsar Bomba and so on, they were all tested in the Kazakh desert, which killed lots of Kazakh people, some immediately, but some from various cancers because of the radioactivity in their area, which carried on for decades afterwards and were never compensated. Just typical. It was just so grossly and cruelly unjust. Anyway, these talks between Russia and the United States are probably a reason for Ukraine to be worried that the Uncle Sam might abandon them. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Goodbye.